Let us pray. Use me, O Lord, so that the illumination of your Holy Spirit open our hearts so that we may hear your word and heed your call. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Once in a while, a whimsical story makes the papers or the news. Most of us don't read newspapers very much anymore, at least we don't in our household. We get it all on the internet. But I read a long time ago a story that I cut out and saved. It was about a woman in Olney, O-L-N-E-Y, Olney, England. And the article said she defied snow and a biting wind to beat seven other women to the finish line in the annual Shrove Tuesday pancake race. And it went on to describe how she raced she's a 30-something year old teacher, and it was a 450-yard race all the way from the pub on the city community square to the St. Peter and St. Paul Church on the other side of the city square. She did it in 73 seconds, and the previous record had been 58 seconds. She wore a traditional headscarf and apron, but opted for modern running shoes. She said she was ecstatic. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this. We all know Shrove Tuesday is known in Britain as a pancake day. Traditionally, people make pancakes to use up all of the eggs and the fat and the sugar that the faithful are not supposed to be eating during Lent. And legend has it that in this little town, their pancake race started in 1445. When a housewife, dashing to get to church on time, ran into the cathedral with a pan in her hand and a pancake in it. So when these women, and it's only women allowed, run this race, they have a pancake in a pan, and they have to flip it at the beginning of the race, run their race, and then flip it again at the end. And there have been ladies that ran the race the fastest, but when they flipped their pancake, it splattered on the ground, so they didn't win. Now, this Shrove Tuesday pancake race is only one of several traditions. We are far more familiar with what we know as Mardi Gras. Typically, we think of New Orleans when we think of Mardi Gras, and we think of bands and parades and all kinds of merriment. It is the last time for merriment before the season of Lent officially begins, and it is a time of fasting and the tradition of giving things up. Now, the intent of Lent is that we should look within ourselves, ask ourselves, where do I store my treasure? Is it in earth or is it in heaven? The prophet Joel writes, "Even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to me." He wants us to come back to him when we have fallen short. And Matthew tells us about, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. The first task of Lent is repentance. Return to the Lord, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That is our gospel acclamation this morning, and it comes from the second chapter of Joel. We're invited to bring our sins to the Lord and lay them down at his feet before the throne of God. And what a gift that invitation is, because some of us carry around so much guilt. Immediately after the 1971 Los Angeles earthquake, counselors met with a lot of young children who were traumatized by the event. And there was one child in particular who was truly traumatized by this. He had been told many times by his mother not to slam doors. And after the earthquake, he never would even shut a door. And the counselor talked with him and finally found out that he had walked into his room. His mother told him to go into his room, and he'd walked in and he had slammed that door shut. And the minute he did, the whole building started shaking under him, which he thought he caused by slamming his door. It was the earthquake shaking just at that moment. And he wasn't ever going to shut another door. The response was not at all what he had expected. He had gone too far in his bid for attention from his mom. And he felt so guilty. Irrational, but oh, so very, very real. Newspapers told some time back about a man who walked into the police station to give himself up and confessed a crime that he had committed 15 years earlier. Here was a man who would rather face his punishment than continue to live with his guilt. And another story about living with guilt. At my church back in Maitland, we had a portion of a hallway outside the sanctuary that had a flat roof before it went up. And we always had a live nativity for Advent. And the one particular night during the weekend, right before Christmas and on Christmas Eve, we would come out with the Advent manger scene. And one year, I remember being a shepherdess and had to get all the little lambs, which were the 4 and 5 year olds, crawling around. But this particular year, I was the head angel, which meant I was the adult that had to go up on top of the roof to stand with the teenage girls who were angels. We all had on our white things and big angel wings sticking out behind us. And we stood up there, and as music would play, we would go like this as the music was going. The next morning, there was a big knock on the pastor's office door, and one of the local policemen came in, and he said, "I want you to know, y'all were cause for repentance last night." And he went on to say, the church was right next 1791, a big divided 4 or even 6 lane highway. And he was traveling south in the northbound lane, which was the side that the church was on. And he looked up, drunk as a skunk, and he sees all of these angels up there. So he hightails it to the police department a block away, and he goes in and he says, "I'm going to die, I'm going to die." He thought the angels were a sign from heaven to get out of that lane and stop driving the wrong way and quit drinking. Later we found out he actually did quit drinking. Some of us are troubled, and we don't even know why. Like the little boy in the earthquake. He just didn't realize that he really had no responsibility for that. But in his mind, he did have responsibility. Lent is a time of repentance, but it's also a time of exploring. So ask yourself, where is your treasure? For many of us, our treasure is literally in the bank. For others, their treasure is in their reputation or in being the best at something that they take pride in and have a great sense of satisfaction about. But as a time of repentance, we repent of the evil we have done, of the things that we have not done, and of the things deep down that we know we shouldn't have done or should have done. We repent of that which created the guilt we carry. And we repent that our treasure is stored up on earth and not in heaven. Lent is also a time of absolution, which is why our scripture calls us back to God, because ours is a forgiving and loving God. God wants to forgive us and give us new life. People who walk around dragging around their guilt have never accepted the absolution from God. I carried around guilt for a while after my brother died because he had called me that night, and Larry and I were out, and when I came home, I listened to the message, and it was just about a piano, and Larry said, "Aren't you going to return his call?" And I said, "No. It's after 10 and I'm tired and he's probably gone back to bed now anyway. I'll call him in the morning." And in the morning I tried to call and there was no answer. Well, several days later, we got a call from Texas and my brother had died in his sleep. And it had been quite a while before they found him, and they could only guess at when he died. And guess what their guess was? That Friday night. Now, I walked around with guilt for years, if only. Have you ever had a if only thought? If only I had done such and such. If only I had called him back, we would have been talking on the phone and he wouldn't have been dying. If only I had called him back, he wouldn't have gone to bed quite so early and he'd still be alive. My illogical logic told me that it was my fault. If I had just made that phone call. And wives, I guess the moral of this story is listen to your husbands, much as I hate to admit it. But I walked around with that and carried it for years and years. And then one Lent, I am not in the habit of giving things up, but I was thinking, surely there's something I want to get rid of. Some bad habit or something like gossiping. Maybe I'll give that up for Lent. And I thought also of guilt. I said, it's not rational. I shouldn't be carrying this around, but I still am. I need to let go of it. I'll give that up for Lent. That night I had a dream, and in that dream, God was looking down on me, and he saw me like Santa Claus carrying this huge sack full of all my guilt over my brother's death. He said, "You don't need to carry that. Give it to me." And I did. And I woke up the next morning. A weight had been lifted. I had been forgiven. God had granted me his absolution. I no longer had to feel guilty about that because God had taken care of it. Now, Max Lucado puts the meaning of forgiveness quite succinctly, and I'm confident that my own feelings of feeling free at that time is why his words mean so much to me. He wrote, "God wants you to fly. He wants you to fly free of yesterday's guilt. He wants you to fly free of today's fears. He wants you to fly free of tomorrow's grave. Sin, fear, and death. These are the mountains he has moved. These are the prayers he will answer. Answered prayer is the fruit he will grant. This is what he longs to do. He longs to set you free so that you can fly." And I would add, so that you can fly home to him. Lent is a time of repentance and absolution, God's grace and mercy and forgiveness is offered freely, release from our guilt, our obligation, and yes, release from our punishment. He truly does long to set each and every one of us free, free so we can fly and soar with the eagles. Our Lord does indeed bless us. He blesses us each in the way and at the time that he knows we need his blessing, and in the way and at the time he knows we are ready to receive his blessing. As you receive the Lenten ashes today, receive them and also receive God's mercy and God's blessing. Repentance, absolution, turning our burdens over to Christ and allowing them to carry them, allowing Him to carry them on our behalf, and being freed. May your holy season of Lent find you drawing closer and closer to our Lord, accepting the Father's forgiveness and absolution, and flying free as He wants you to soar on the wings of eagles. Let it be so. Amen.